to John chapter 15, and we're going to read from verse 1 to verse 9. John chapter 15, from verse 1 to verse 9. It reads as follows. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch in me that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. Can I hear your amen? One of the deepest longings and instincts of the human being is the sense of belonging or longing for home. The sense of belonging or the longing for home. The same applies to the animal kingdom. Animals generally have a sense of where they belong or home. This is usually where they are born, but not always, and the territory they will defend even to the death. Birds build nests. Foxes have holes. Bees have hives. Lions have lairs and territory. Matthew chapter 8 verse 20 says, and Jesus said to him, Matthew chapter 8 verse 20, and Jesus said to him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. What was Jesus referring to here? Well, yes, on one level, he was talking about the fact that he didn't have property. He didn't have a home of his own at this point in time. Apparently, at some point, he did. He did have a house. That was the house, by the way, where those four men climbed on the roof and they broke up the roof and let down that lame man. And the Bible says, and Jesus was in the house. So at some point, Jesus did have a house. But apparently, he surrendered his house. And now at this point in his life and ministry, he had no home. So on one level, that is what he's referring to, but he's saying something just a little bit deeper than that. He was saying that everybody has a home, a place of safety where they belong in the world, except himself. He was saying that he had no place where he felt he belonged and could not call home the world that he was in. He could not call it home. He felt like an outsider, a stranger. He felt like an intruder. He felt like an alien amongst humanity, even amongst his own people. So he says, even animals have a home, but I don't have a home. I've got no place here on earth to call home. In John chapter 1, verse 11, about Jesus, the Bible says, and he came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. So Jesus himself experienced ostracization, even among the very people that he was born among, even amongst his own kind. The Bible tells us that he came to his very own, and they rejected him, and they alienated him and ostracized him. By the way, not all of Jesus' siblings believed he was the Messiah. We know about John, James, the brother of Jesus. And we know about Mary. They believed in Jesus, but we know that the rest of the family did not. And so even amongst his own family, he was not celebrated. He was not recognized by his own sibling. You know, one of the most destabilizing things that we can experience in life is feeling disconnected and far from home. Those of us who have never left home for any length of time would not really know what I'm talking about. But those of us who have left home, whether it be for studies, whether it be for work, or for whatever reason you had to leave home, you know what I'm talking about. You know what it means to look like everything is fine in your life, but inside of you, you're longing for home. You wish you were home. One of the things that used to amaze me back in the day during the struggle, And we would travel internationally, my wife and I and my family. And occasionally we would meet up with some of the people that were in exile from South Africa. I remember one of my aunts who was in upstate New York. Her husband was a professor at Cornell University, had been in exile for many, many years. And we had gone there this particular time actually for a funeral. And before we left South Africa, or Southern Africa at the time, she had a request of something we needed to bring with us to go to America with. And she spoke to my mother and told her what this item was. I was surprised at what she requested. Because out of all the things that we could have brought from South Africa, she asked for Joco tea. She wanted a carton of Joco tea. She was so homesick. She had been away for many years, since the 60s. This was now the 80s. And here we were. 20 years she had been out there, and she had experienced all the teas. She was not poor, beautiful house, quite well off, but had been away from home for so many years, but she longed for the taste of Joco tea. Or Five Roses. So we said, let's just make sure we bring both. And she was so overjoyed. Out of all the things that we could have brought, when we opened up the suitcase and presented to her a box of Joco tea and a box of Five Roses tea, she was over the moon. Why? Because those were things that reminded her of home. She died in exile. And her husband had died in exile. That's why we're there for the funeral. But there was something that in the tea that made her feel like I'm home. Everybody has that feeling. Once in a while, I just want to be home. It's a huge instinct in all of us. And when we don't feel like we are home or we're far from home, being an outsider is very, very unsettling. I have been a student overseas, and we didn't have the money for me to come home every Christmas. My parents didn't have that kind of money. And so I stayed there in the States as a student for almost 4 years without coming home. And I know what it's like to just want to be back home and be amongst my people again. And one of the most important things that we have to answer for ourselves in life is, where do I belong? Where do I fit? Where is home? I'm talking about finding home. It's a great blessing to find where you belong, because that's where you not only fit, but that's where you function at your best. And that's where you're happiest. If you're not happy at home, then you really have a problem. Because then there's no place you'll be happy in. Home is a place where you should be happy. Am I right about it? Home is a place where you should be at peace. Home should be a place where you are relaxed. Home should be a place where you feel like you can be yourself. You can let your hair down, as they say. You can take your shoes off. And you can walk around in your socks, in your slippers, barefoot. It's okay. You're home. Glory to God. You don't have to put on any makeup. You don't have to put on anything, you know, cosmetic on you. You can just walk around freely and be home, casual as you are. That feeling of home eludes us sometimes, especially with us who are many times moved or removed from our original place of growing up. And we find ourselves in the city for studies, for marriage, for working. And we live in the city, and we can live in a permanent state of feeling disconnected and alienated and being an outsider to the world around us because we have moved away from home for one reason or another. A body part in the wrong place would bring discomfort, distress, disease to the body. Am I right about it? You wouldn't want to find your spleen where your lungs are. That's not home to the spleen. The spleen has its place. And if it ever decides to move from there, you are in real trouble. It has a place. It functions well there, and when it's functioning well there, you'll be fine. An animal outside of its habitat cannot thrive. Cannot thrive outside of its habitat. That's why you can't take fish out of the water. As a matter of fact, it has to be specific. Is it salt water or is it fresh water? Because if you take a freshwater fish and you put it in salt water, it can't survive there. And vice versa. It can only thrive when it's home. It can only thrive where it's in its natural habitat. A soccer player outside of position will never reach their full potential. I'm a basketball player. I wasn't really good at all at soccer, so I didn't have much interest in soccer. My dad was a great soccer advocate and a great soccer player. But I know some things about soccer because, you know, I've been around the sport for a while. And I know that if you take a player who is supposed to be in one position and put them in the wrong position, they will not perform very well. And so you have a soccer team and you got the right wing, you got the left wing, you got the backs, you got the midfield, you got the strikers, whatever, or strikers and so forth. The coach's job is to make sure that the players are playing in the right position, because that's where they will perform best, and that's best for the team. If you take a person that's supposed to be playing in one position, let's say they're supposed to be the left wing, that means that they're good at using their left foot to cross to the strikers in the middle or to the midfield. But now if you take that guy and put him on the right field and he has to use his right foot, he may make a lot of mistakes. Not because he's a bad player, but because he's out of position. Tell your neighbor you need to be in position. We are all looking for that. Where is my position? Where is my place? Where is home? For many people, their main problem is finding where they fit. Now, this is a very, very important and subconscious motive in relationship choices. One of the things that you can know whether you fit in a relationship, that would be an indicator about whether a relationship is going to work for you. Do you fit there? Or do you have to make major adjustments and stop being yourself in order to fit? If you have to make such major adjustments that you can no longer be yourself in that relationship, that's not a relationship for you. If demands are put on you that you must change this, you must change that, you must become this, you must become that in order to fit in, let it go. Tell your neighbor, let it go. It's for somebody else, it's not for you. Has to be a good fit. I could preach on that. Before we talk about love and those kinds of things, does it fit? If it's a bad fit, let it go. We have to use our this idea of fitting in and being at home in making career choices. Does it fit? Is it the right fit for me? Let me give you an example. If you are an outgoing individual and you love to communicate, you love to interact with people, and you find a job. Now, I know there are situations where you just have to get something, but I'm just saying, let's put that aside. And you go and get a job. But now the job you have is behind a computer in the background somewhere. You never talk to nobody. Let me tell you something. That job will frustrate you. It doesn't fit you. You need to interact with people. Am I right about it? If you are a creative person and you love to create, you love to design, or you like to create music and all of this stuff, and you're just that person, and then you're given a job which is always routine, doing the same thing, believe me, I don't care how much they pay you, you're going to be bored silly in that job, because that's not the fit for you. Tell your neighbor, look for where you fit. So when you have found the place where you fit, that is where you will thrive. That is where you will grow. That is where you'll feel fulfillment, because that's home for you. in that creative space. Am I talking to anybody here? Now, again, I understand that we are in an environment where sometimes you're in a phase of life where you just have to put bread on the table. But you must understand that's where you are. That this is just a passage I'm looking for where I will fit. Because that is where you're going to excel. Don't be going by, well, this is what the market needs today alone, or this is what's paying well, and it's not a right fit. There are so many people who have studied for things in university, come out with degrees, who are not doing what they studied. I know medical doctors. Half of the medical doctors I know who have studied as medical doctors are not practicing medicine. They stopped years ago. They did it, they done that, and they got tired of it. They said, no, it's not for me, and they moved on to something else because it wasn't a fit for them. They were following a trend, or, you know, you've got the brains, why don't you just become a medical doctor? You can make good money. And they pursued that. But after doing for a while, it began to chafe on them, and they began to feel the discomfort and the distress of doing something you are not made for. So finding home is a huge matter. As to where is home, where do I fit? Even a residence, where do I live? That question comes into play. Do I fit in this community? Do I fit in this estate, in this apartment complex? Now again, sometimes you get what you can. But understand, it is what you can because of what you have at the time. Am I talking to anybody? But in your quest as to where you want to live, look for a place where you feel you fit and you feel at home. Even the business, a lot of people take a long time to learn. You don't decide to go into a business because the only reason is that you're going to make money. Just because other people are making money in that business does not mean it will work for you. Because that business has to be a good fit for you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There are many different areas of business. And so you have to think, what area do I fit in? Where do I see myself based on my personality, my preferences, my skills, and all of that, and then decide, I think this is the business for me. Whenever you get that combination of bringing the skills, the talents, and the opportunity together and they fit, you're going to have a success. Tell your neighbor you fit somewhere. I wanted to help me tell them, your neighbor, you are not a misfit. You just have to find the right fit. I don't know why I'm going here, but somebody has been feeling like a misfit, almost like a reject in the area of marriage. Because nobody or very few people have been coming your way, and God has been, I wanted to know, God has been protecting you from the wrong fit. Because, you know, when you put on a shoe and you like the shoe, and then you are in the shop and it's like one half a size too small, and you get the shoehorn and you squeeze that foot in there and you look in the mirror and you're like, man, this shoe, I like this shoe. And it's the right price. And you ask, do you have my size? They say, this is the only one remaining. And you wish by faith that that shoe would just grow just a little bit. But if you make the mistake of buying that shoe, you wear the shoe once and you won't wear it again. Because by the time you've worn it for 2 or 3 hours, that shoe will be telling you, barking at you, prophesying to you that I am not yours. I belong to somebody else. Now take me off. Relationships can be like that. Oh, he's so nice. He's so fine. She's so this. She's so that. But when you start seeing, does it fit? Now you want to force matters. And then a month later, someone's crying tears. Because it wasn't the right fit. Tell your neighbor, the right fit is there for you. Yes, you are the right fit for somebody, not for everybody. Oh, someone needs to take that home. Glory to God. You are the right fit for somebody. You are not a reject. That shoe is waiting for somebody that is that size. And you are the right size for somebody. Come on, somebody give God praise. Someone say, I fit somewhere. Glory to God. So to know where you belong, you must know where you come from. Now let's talk about it as a spiritual being. Because we are essentially spirit beings. Before we talk about the fact that we are human beings, as in natural human beings, we are spirit beings. Am I right about it? Before we even talk about being a physical being, you are a spiritual being, which means that you come from God. You come from God. And therefore, you belong with God. Someone say, I come from God. And I belong with God. Hallelujah. So until you reconcile with God, you will always be missing the largest piece of where home is for you. I just said a mouthful. Until you come back to God, you'll be missing the biggest piece of where home is for you. Amen. That's a good place to give God praise. So Jesus gives us this passage and talks about, I am the vine and you are the branches. He says, if you abide in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. What is he talking about? Well, I believe that one of the things he's talking about is the fact that when you have a vine and you've got branches, how many people know that there is no branch that visits? That branch is connected to that tree or to that vine permanently. It's a permanent resident, if you want. Jesus is saying, if you want to see fruit in your life, if you want your life to change, then stop being a visitor where Christ is concerned. Stop being in and out, on and off. Be planted and be rooted in me. Oh, someone shout amen. I am the vine. You are the branches. In other words, be a permanent resident in Christ. Make Christ your home. Woo, I just said a mouthful right there. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Someone say, I'm in Christ. Now, this is my mindset. This is a mindset. The mindset, what I'm talking about is this. There are certain times when a person doesn't have that mindset of abiding, they will say things like, today I'm doing church.
What are you doing?
I'm doing church. I'm churching today. Okay, so what do you do every day? Oh, no, I just live my life. No, you see, that person has a mentality of visiting. because it's not doing church. We are the church. You can't do it. You can only be it. You can't be churching unless what that person means is that I'm pretending that I'm one of these people. That person is churching. They're putting on a show to say, I belong here, but in fact, they know they don't belong. That person is churching. But if you're abiding in Christ, you are the church. Yes, you go to assemble with the saints, and we go to the assembly, you know, to church, but it's not something that is outside of who you are. This is what you do. So we must abide in Christ and be a permanent resident in Christ. And then the other things will come naturally. Am I making sense to anybody here today? Hallelujah. So this is what Jesus is talking about. He's saying, not only that, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, glory to God, you'll ask whatever you will, it shall be given to you. In other words, not only do I want you to be a permanent resident in Christ, you must sleep in Christ, wake up in Christ, bath in Christ, amen, drive in Christ, work in Christ, live in Christ, go to church in Christ, pay your bills in Christ. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Everything you do is in Christ. Be a permanent resident, make your home in me, live your life from me, and then if you allow my words to be at home in you, woo, you will ask whatsoever you will, it shall be done to you. In other words, don't let the word visit your life. Let the word live in your life. Oh, I just said something right there. It's not something you take on and off like a jacket. The word is something that becomes resident inside of you, becomes part of you. You live in that word. You receive from that word. That word nourishes you. It strengthens you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He says, now, if you do these two things, and that you are permanent resident in Christ, and I'm not talking about religion here. Don't confuse it. Okay? You can still go to the gym and be in Christ. Hallelujah. You can still enjoy yourself and do fun things in Christ. Now, if you have a problem, if there's a question, check it out. Whatever it is that you're doing, if there's a conflict, that's when you must stop and say, why is there a conflict here? Why can't I do this in Christ? Why can't I light up and smoke this joint in Christ? Come on now, somebody. Why can't I go to bed with this person? It's not my wife. It's not my... Why can't I do that and do it in Christ? That's where the... Are you following what I'm saying? That's when you stop and say, I can't do this in Christ. I am in Christ, so I'm going to do things that I can do being in... Am I making sense here? So he says, if you do these things, and you abide in me, and my words are resident and at home in you, you'll ask whatsoever you will, and it shall be done unto you. Why would that be so? Because when you ask anything, it's already in agreement with God. It's already in agreement with God. The Bible says, delight yourself also in me, and I will give you the desires of your heart. Now, that means that if you abide in Christ, watch this. He's not just going to give you what you want. He's going to give you what to want. He'll give you the desires. then he will fulfill the desires. See, so when you abide in him and he, his word abides in you, you automatically want what he wants. And you'll ask what he wants you to ask. And it's in alignment with his will. And you'll have whatsoever you ask. Can someone shout amen? Glory to God. Let me wrap this up. So don't be like a visitor to God. Don't act like a visitor. Be a son and a family member. Be at home in God. Are you hearing me? God is your father. Put aside everything that would normally make that an issue. And realize that God is home. Glory to God. Christ is home. And heaven is your neighborhood. Woo! I met a man of God years ago. His name was Bishop Tenel Nelson from Trinidad. And he was a spiritual father to Dr. Miles Monroe, who was in the Bahamas. I've had the privilege of going with the music ministry team to the Bahamas from Oral Roberts University, which is called Souls of Fire, ministered in the Bahamas a few times. And I met Bishop Tenel Nelson. And Bishop Tenel Nelson, we invited him with Apostle Vanda years ago to minister here in South Africa in Soweto. He would say some very, very, very unusual things. One of the things he would say, I was in heaven this morning. I said, what? You were where? He said, no, I was in heaven. I just come back from heaven. And this is what the Lord said. I was like, wow. Whew, that's another level. This guy just goes there like he's going to take an Uber to heaven and be back and, you know, and go back and forth at will. And I didn't understand what he was talking about. Then later, after a long time, I began to understand what he was talking about. And I realized this is exactly where God wants us to be. Heaven is our neighborhood. That's our hood. We need to be at home in heaven. I said, how do I get there? Didn't you say that we have access to the throne of grace? Every time you pray, you are visiting home. Wow. Tell your neighbor, heaven is home. Yeah, we know. Don't we say, though, heaven is my home and I'm not, you know, I'm not from this world and all that. Eventually, you're going home. So get used to home. Glory to God. Years ago, I remember when I was a young preacher and I was praying and seeking the Lord and just spending time with God. And this was my habit. And then something disturbed me. And I started not praying as much and not praying as long for a while. I was distracted by other things. And I remember somebody came to me, a prophetic person who also visited heaven a lot. And she said, hey, Beggy, an angel came to me last night and told me to tell you that they are missing you at home. I was like, what? You mean they even know my name? The angel said, tell Beggy we miss him. Huh. That blew my mind. Like, do they even care? And then I later understood that it's home. And if you don't visit home, somebody's missing you. And it's not just about what I need from God. It's the fact that they'd like to see you home. Ask your neighbor, when last were you home? Because many times when we AWOL from home, then we have another problem of guilt.
He's like, yay, I must apologize. And I've got sins. I haven't been home for a long time now. That is what happens when we don't pray. Now that creates a barrier. Now we have a problem to pray because we know we have to answer why we haven't been coming. But that's not the motive. God just likes us around, and God loves his children around. Come on, somebody. God likes us to visit with him. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You don't have to come because you have a problem. Just come home. And Bishop Tenno Nelson was visiting home every day. And I've learned to visit home every day and spend time every day and go home. And I get news from home and I bring news to you. Glory to God. I get inside information from home and what's going on and what is God planning. And we have conferences and we have discussions. Glory to God. Amen. And God begins to tell me the things he wants to do. Glory to God. Because I'm spending time at home. Tell your neighbor, spend time at home. I'm not just talking about the church. I'm talking about your own prayer life. I'm talking about that time when you can download with God. Sometimes it's not about a breakthrough. Sometimes it's not about a healing. Sometimes it's just that assurance that you need that God is with you. Sometimes it's just that touch that gives you the peace of God that passes all understanding. Sometimes it's just the presence that makes you feel that I belong with you. I belong here, Lord. I'm not a stranger here. Nobody's mad at me here. Everybody loves me here. This is my home. I want to be here. Glory to God. Somebody give the Lord a hand of praise. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's stand on our feet. We'll continue next time. Glory to God. And just lift up those hands and begin to thank him. Begin to talk to your Father. We are here in the Father's house. And you can make it your Father's house wherever you are online. I don't know who this is for, but somebody's been missing from home. And it's been a while, and you know it. It's not that God is mad. No, he's not mad. He's just missing you. He's got stuff for you, things to tell you, to give you direction, to give you wisdom. So come to him right now and just thank him for the access you have, that you have a home. Thank you, Father, that you are my home. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you've come so that we can make you our home in the Spirit, that we will abide in you. That prayer is not something we visit. It's not an exercise like going to the gym. Prayer is like going home, visiting home, calling home. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. I wanted to grab somebody by the hand right now as we close and begin to pray for them. Begin to pray for them. That God will give them a revelation of the love of God that'll help them. That'll help them to spend time and come home. Will you pray just for a minute in the mighty name of Jesus? Pray for that person. They're looking for home. They're looking for home. Jesus says, I am that place. Come home. Come home. Maybe there's a prodigal son, a prodigal daughter here, and you have been going through motions, but you've not been home. You've not been home when it comes to God. You've been away from home a long time, and like that prodigal son, you were saying, Lord, I'm coming back home. I'm coming back home. I miss you. You miss me. I want to be home. Oh, he's not going to chastise you. He's not going to rebuke you. He'll embrace you. He will love on you. He'll fuss over you because you're that special to God.
in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. You can let go of the hands, every head bowed and every eye closed right now. Somebody here today is saying, I've been far from home. Like that prodigal son, right there online. We hide behind so many things. People can be fooled. But you know where you are. And you left home a long time ago, or not too long ago, and you want to rededicate your life to Jesus and say, Lord, I'm coming back home. It's not working for me out there. I want home. I want where I belong with you. Or maybe you've never been home. Oh my goodness. You don't know home. You've been looking at the wrong places to fit in. You've been looking at the wrong places to belong. You've sold yourself short so you can fit in. Because you want to fit in, you want to belong, you want to be loved. And God says, it starts with me. Come home and you'll find what you're looking for. Wherever you are, lift up your hand. Let me pray for you. Let me pray for you. Let me pray for you. The Father is waiting. He's saying, welcome home. You belong here. This is where you belong. You come from me, come back to me. You'll find where you belong. Wherever you are, lift up your hand. Let me pray for you all over this building, online where you are. Follow me in this prayer and say, Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Thank you for being the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by you. I come back home. I come to you, Lord. Be my home. Be my dwelling place for my heart and for my spirit. Save me, Lord Jesus. Let me find what my soul is looking for. The place where I belong in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's give God praise, amen. Hallelujah. The Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, cause His face to shine upon you, rule, reign in every area of your life. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.